1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. Charges are expected Tuesday against 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, who's accused of fatally shooting conservative activist Charlie Kirk. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The probable cause statement already submitted for this arrest indicates the possible charges. Aggravated murder, felonious discharge of a firearm. Those are possible come Tuesday in Utah County Court. Whether the feds get involved, whole different issue. There may not be a foothold for federal charges here for the U.S. Department of Justice unless they see something in the firearms or in the motives here that makes it federal.
Kirk was gunned down at an event in Utah last week. Governor Spencer Cox thinks social media is partly to blame for an increase in political violence.
We have to hold them responsible for the algorithms that are pushing us. Again, they're hijacking our agency. They're hijacking our free will with these dopamine hits, same chemical reaction as fentanyl, getting us addicted to these platforms, and outrage releases a dopamine hit.
Cox on CNN. The violence has members of Congress worried. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford says his guard is up.
My staff and I have to talk through each public event.
Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons says being in a leadership role can be dangerous now.
The risk is getting higher.
Both men were on CBS's Face the Nation.
U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who insists the country's alliance is strong.
I think his visit here is a testament to the durability, the strength of the Israeli-American alliance. It's as strong and as durable as the stones of the Western world that we just touched.
President Trump agrees, but has been critical of Israel's recent attack on Hamas leadership in Qatar, a U.S. ally. Israel has intensified airstrikes in Gaza City. Medical staff say 32 people, including 12 children, have been killed. Israel claims the city is Hamas's last stronghold. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's time for increased sanctions on Russia to try to force an end to its invasion of Ukraine, telling CBS's Face the Nation.
Appropriate sanctions on Russia are far overdue. I mean, I think there's a big appetite for that in Congress.
Polish and Allied aircraft were deployed in Poland's airspace for about 2 hours yesterday because of a threat of drone strikes in neighboring Ukraine. This comes after multiple drones crossed into Poland Wednesday. At the Vatican, celebrations for the Pope's birthday.
Tante grazie a tutti.
The Pope thanking well-wishers. He was born 70 years ago. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Experts are warning that active clubs, those white nationalist groups disguised as fitness and brotherhood organizations, are spreading rapidly in Wisconsin and nationally. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Experts say they're seeing a rise in white nationalist movements in Wisconsin and across the country that are disguising themselves as fitness groups. They're called active clubs and present themselves as sporting clubs or fighting clubs focused on brotherhood. Art Gibson, professor of sociology and criminology at the University of Dayton, says they recruit both online and in person, targeting young white men using shared interests as tools to gradually introduce and normalize racist ideologies.
Add to that the willingness to engage in violence against people of color, LGBTQ people. There's a clear potential for violence here.
Gibson says active clubs often meet in Christian churches and gyms, with recent activity showing multi-state coordination, like a Wisconsin active club regularly meeting with an Illinois active club for family days. They use distinctive symbols like the Celtic cross, a well-known neo-Nazi symbol, and share content across social media platforms to maintain connections between chapters and other white supremacists. supremacist groups. Gypsum says the groups are a huge shift in organizing for white supremacists and white nationalists following what he calls a decentralized leaderless resistance. Gypsum says new chapters of active clubs are frequently being created and linking with one another. Members say they are dedicated to self-improvement and brotherhood, seeing themselves as a noble resistance in the cause of preserving the white race. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Find more news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Low clouds and fog giving way to sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s and a light southeast wind. Tonight, a mostly clear sky. Lows will drop back into the upper 50s. A warm Monday on the way, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. It's 75 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show,
I'm back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, everybody. Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host, and I wish we weren't having this discussion today, but we're here, and we've got some pretty serious topics to talk about today, and we've got a great guest for that. But first, I do want to read a statement that I put out on Wednesday regarding the death of Charlie Kirk. I got to say this. In the strongest possible terms, I do condemn the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Let me say at the outset, I deeply disagreed with much of what he stood for, but disagreement, even passionate disagreement, should never be met with a bullet. Political violence is a betrayal of our country's promise. It does not honor our values. It desecrates and attacks the values that are the foundation of this nation. In the aftermath, we are going to hear voices that rush to plant their flag of victimhood, casting blame on those who they disagree with, trying to turn tragedy into a tool used for division. That path only weakens us. Violence is not owned by one party or ideology. It is a poison that corrodes us all. We cannot undo what has happened, but we can choose how we respond. We need to choose to reject hatred and turn away from blame. We need to strive together for a society grounded in equality, justice, and a respect for basic human dignity. Our charge is to pursue reform where it is so clearly needed, reconciliation where it is possible, and to continue the steady, unfinished work of building a more perfect union. And I don't think that I could have a better guest here this week to kind of talk about where we are and what happened than my guest here is Ken Sikora. He is the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party's 8th Congressional District. Before I ask how you're doing, I do need to say that I'm really glad you're here to have this discussion. And I give you a lot of credit for being here and having the courage to come and have a discussion. And I think we can have.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I genuinely mean that. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. What do you hope to get out of this discussion today?
Well, I guess the first thing is simply the fact that we have to look at the root cause of these problems.
You know,
whether it's the school shootings, whether it's the murder on the subway that we saw, horrific. I mean, I have two young daughters and if you watch that video, I'm sure many people saw it. Unfortunately, today's world, we have technology.
It's horrible.
See everything. Yeah. And in some ways, I'll be honest, after what happened to Charlie, I think this is good that we have these videos because I think, you know, I look back as I wasn't born when Kennedy was assassinated. Yeah. All we have is a grainy video, you know, of his wife crawling on a car. Now we have just this in-your-face, horrible event. Mm-hmm. You know, the young Ukrainian girl being stabbed, bleeding to death on a subway. Charlie Kirk, you know, in the middle of a polite conversation, you know, being shot. And the images are horrible. And I think it's important that our youth can see this up close.
Yes.
I think this is shocking for them. They're used to video games. They're used to violence. But this is a whole different level. You know, these are not... None of these people, these children in a school shooting, we could go back to I believe she was the Senate president in Minnesota that was killed. You know, these are innocent people. We might not agree on politics. We might not agree on politics, but these are innocent people that were killed. Yeah. And it's shocking. It's one thing to hear that this happened. It's another thing when we see these videos.
Yeah.
And as horrible as it is, I hope that this brings a little bit of shock to people to say, well, what is going on? Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to figure out the root cause. It does no good if we say we can't have political violence. Most of this isn't political violence. It's just violence. You know, Charlie wasn't a political figure. He was never elected.
Well, he was a political figure.
He was a political figure.
He was a pretty big political figure.
But he wasn't an elected official that's making law,
right.
You know, that's affecting what... You know, one side or the other thinks it affected their livelihood or their income or something.
But I mean, Charlie Kirk built a huge empire.
Yeah.
To impact politics. I mean, I think to say he wasn't a political figure, I don't think he would want you to say that because he was a very influential political figure.
I would call him more of a religious political figure because he was able to take a value. You know, like most politicians are going to say what people want to hear. On both sides, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I mean, I'll be honest.
Which way is the wind blowing, right?
I listened to your interview a year ago, or less than a year ago, with Lyerly and Tracy Mangold, and you know, all about the District 8 caucus. So, you know, I was not. It was not an easy election because I'm someone that is as outspoken against my own party as I am against the Democrat Party.
Okay,
I believe that we have problems on both sides. Mm-hmm. And if we don't start addressing those problems and we don't start to look at the root cause of those problems, we're never going to fix it, right? I think there's some on our side, the Republican side would be my side, which are very happy with these type issues. They don't care. Mm. There's money to be made.
Yes.
You know, there's people in our political side and people on the opposite side, I would say your side, that make money no matter what. They don't care who gets elected governor. They don't care who's gets elected Supreme Court.
Yeah.
There's money being made, political money.
Right.
And it's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm very outspoken about that. I'm not happy with our speaker in this state. You know, I'm not happy with past speakers of the United States House, Paul Ryan. You know, I think these people did more damage than good. I'm also not happy with Nancy Pelosi or AOC either.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't have thought.
but we have to go and look and say, why, you know, why has this trend gotten worse? You know, why are we, why is it okay now to shoot people on national TV? Why is it okay to shoot kids while they're praying in a Catholic school? You know, if you watch the video of the speaker of the Minnesota House, she voted for a bill she didn't want to vote for. But that bill had some good things in it for her. Our side would say it had good things for us. And then she said, I'm voting for this. She was crying. She said, I'm voting for this reluctantly because there's good things in it and there'll be a price to pay. And a week later, she was dead. What does that say about either side? You know, it's scary. Like she literally said that there's a price to pay. And I don't know if she thought she'd be shot. But
there's more of a political price, right?
Yeah. You know, so, you know, that it goes to the root problem. What's causing this?
What do you think?
I think, I mean, obviously we live in a world where you can watch everything live stream. Any knucklehead can go out there and blast whatever they want. Yeah. Right. And obviously the First Amendment protects us and it's important.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Supreme Court has actually ruled you can yell fire in a theater as long as nobody gets hurt, you know, which yeah, I mean, they do and don't agree with that. You know what I mean? So those are things we have to look at.
Yes.
But I do, unfortunately, I think a lot of your audience is going to disagree with this.
Sure.
I think there's a mental illness issue.
Okay.
I did hear in the last hour, it's being confirmed, I think, by CNN and the Charlie Kirk situation. There was writing on the bullet casing.
You know, really?
TGB. No, it was actually Antifa and and trans stuff. And, you know, you look at the shooter in the Catholic Church, you know, another one, the Tennessee shooter. They hid the manifesto. We know it was a trans person. I am not against anybody's sexual preference. I don't stand for that. We have lots of friends that believe differently than I do on that. But I do think we have to start to recognize that there are people that have issues, deep issues.
Are you saying like trans people have deep issues?
Yeah, I would. I do have to say that. I know that's not a popular statement.
That's definitely not a popular statement.
Let's be honest. You know, whether you're, I have a sister, I've heard you talk about your brother.
Yep.
I have a sister that's a lesbian.
Thanks for listening, by the way.
I did a little homework.
That's good.
I have a sister that's a lesbian.
Okay.
The funny thing about that situation.
What does she think?
She doesn't talk to me.
Okay.
Not because we've never had harsh words about her beliefs, right? But she believes that because I'm a Christian and I believe God made man and woman and to be in that order, that I hate her. I have no hate in my heart for her at all, but she literally, my grandmother died begging to talk to her and she won't talk to her because she said she's religious and she hates me. That's sad. Like that's very sad. Because my father cries about my sister not talking to him. But she has a belief that he believes that she's done something wrong and he hates her. And I think part of that is we get into the societal belief that because we don't disagree or we don't agree, that we hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, tonight we're going to have a stadium full of Packer fans.
Yeah.
That probably vote, you know, half of that, maybe half of that stadium didn't vote, a quarter voted for Republicans and a quarter. They don't give a crap tonight.
Right.
They're going to go in there and cheer for the Packers. And that's one of the things I think is great about America, that we can do that. But we have to find that part in politics too.
Yeah. I think anything that we do in politics has to center around having respect for people for who they are, and that includes the people of the LGBT who are the T. And I will admit when I was young, I didn't understand that. And, you know, I got to a place where I still don't understand what it means to feel like you're a prisoner in your own body. Is that a mental health thing? Well, yeah, probably. If you spend every day, you know, knowing that, so I'm grateful that there are outlets and there are things for people in that position to be able to live who they are. And for your sister, I mean, we grew up in a very religious household. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to know that people take the Bible in that sense, even though Jesus never said anything about gay people. But knowing that, hey, they're religious and they do think that I deserve less than them. You know, that's got to be hard. Would you agree, though, that's a hard thing?
Here's the problem with that statement is that none of us believe that they deserve less. Listen, I'm a born-again Christian.
Sure.
We're all sinners. I don't care whether you murder somebody, whatever crime it is. If you believe biblically, you grew up in a Christian household, you believe we're all sinners. There's no greater sin than one and the other.
Well, but for born-again Christians and for Christians in general— they believe that gay people just being who they are is a sin. And so you being with your wife, that's not a sin, but a gay person being with the person that they love, that is a sin. So it's not all created equal. Like that goes to the very fundamental core. Yeah, we're all sinners. That's a cop out that I think a lot of people say, well, we're all sinners. Okay, well, but me going home to my wife is not a sin. And my brother or your sister going home to the person they love, that is, they're doing the same thing, right? That's kind of, that. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're
saying. You see that? Yeah.
But here's the question I would have for you.
Yep.
At what point, you know, as sinners, as us all being sinners,
yep,
does it make their sin, my sister's sin, worse than any sin I committed? Whether it's speeding on the way home or going home and liking my neighbor's, it's a sin to covet your neighbor's stuff. So I go home and go, man, I wish I had my neighbor's car. So I can be a sinner also. So my question is,
it's a sin to speed. It's a sin to steal. It's a sin to do that. just being herself is a sin in the eyes of the church. We'll talk about this. We got Ken Sikora here on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. All right. We got Mark Becker, Rational Revolution, here on Civic Media Radio Network. We got Ken Sikora, who's the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party's 8th Congressional District. We were talking on the other side about Christians view gay people, and you were about to say something, and I rudely interrupted for our advertisers. But yeah. Well, keep it going.
So I guess my point would be this. I think this is where we get into a lot of our issue.
Yeah.
Is that too many people worry about what I'm thinking. For what you're thinking. I mean, I don't, let's be honest, I don't waste much of my life thinking about whether what I disagree with my sister. It doesn't matter whether I disagree with someone that's a trans person. You know what? If you want to live your life however it is you want to live, I'm happy with that. As long as I don't have to pay for it and I don't have to acknowledge you with whatever you think you are, it doesn't matter to me because you're a person, you're a human being. God loves you. It doesn't matter. Here's where the problem arises for me in the trans business. We're doing this at a young age. I mean, do you think it's okay? You have children. I don't know how old your children are.
They're young.
It's, you know, we're not allowed to, kids aren't allowed to buy cigarettes till they're 21 or 18. Right. They're not allowed to buy alcohol till they're 21. There's an age before they can own a gun. Why are we allowing them to transition at a young age? I believe this is the issue that we have. We are allowing kids, they're not even allowed to get a tattoo in Wisconsin before they're 18 years old. but you can cut your genitals off. I mean, that's where, and that isn't on the kids. That's on the parents. You know, I mean, I want to give you an example. You look at my wife here. She's sitting here. Beautiful woman. She was a Tom girl growing up. She hunts. She likes to shoot stuff. She likes to fish. She did Tom girl stuff. Now, what if, you know, obviously that was 20 years ago. What if her parents said, well, you should be a boy? Now, I wouldn't have this beautiful woman sitting next to me because she was allowed to mature and change. So it goes back to, I think part of the problem that I would have, and I think a lot of people have in the trans community, with the trans community, is that these kids are being messed up in the head very young. If you listen very carefully to what the shooter in the Catholic school shooting in Minnesota, he talked about he was angry at his mom because she told him a lie. She told him that if he transitioned, he'd be happy, you know, and this is an issue. I've talked to other people. We had a previous secretary who transitioned her daughter or was in the process, and she said, if I don't do it, my kid will kill themselves. The studies actually show the opposite. They show that kids that transition have a much higher suicide rate later on, and this comes out of European studies. So these are issues that we have to look at seriously because these kids are being messed up in the head at a young age. Let them develop. Let them grow and go through the changes and the things that children go through.
So here's what – this is kind of my North Star on this stuff. Like, can you imagine walking around every single day as someone who society viewed as for generations, and some still do, as like a second class citizen, and wondering, you know, if the person I'm talking to subscribes to that same, you know, like backwards mindset, you know, and have to sit down at an interview or at a line at Starbucks and wonder if that person I'm with thinks that I do and don't deserve dignity and love and respect and companionship and all that. And then like the very thought of you committing yourself to the person that you love is such an affront to them that like, it just, and it literally doesn't affect them in any way. Right. And even though if someone, you know, we preach freedom and liberty, but then they'll go to such great lengths to deny you of your own. You know, and so like if you could
give me an example. Let me ask you a question. Can you give me an example where that's happening in this country, where someone's being denied? So preface it by this. I grew up in southern New Jersey.
Yep.
It was Donald Trump business world. That's where Donald Trump started his career, casinos, hotels, yeah, buildings. He was the first employer to come into southern New Jersey, a very rural part of New Jersey, very similar to northern Wisconsin, and hire gays, lesbians, blacks, Caucasian, it didn't matter. And people flocked to work for him and to be a part of that, right? He was the first person that started that. So, you know, I see the hate geared towards a Donald Trump because he's a anti-trans or an anti-LT. And I know him as someone who's not. We grew up in his world as a businessman. Mm-hmm. I didn't even vote for him in the primary because I wasn't sure I believed him because I saw the Donald Trump businessman who was the best employer for people that didn't fit into so-called society.
Yeah.
So I got to flip this conversation a little bit on its head and say, you know, I have a friend, Jesse Wisco. I spoke to him yesterday for a little bit because I wanted to make sure he was okay if I talked about his situation. He's a gay man, married, happily married in Egg Harbor across the bay, Door County. And he was in a tragic accident about a month and a half ago, almost lost his life. And he's not a member of the Republican Party, but he's a friend of ours. He runs an organization called Gays Against Groomers. And it's a large organization that's nationwide. And we posted on our Facebook page for the district prayers for Jesse Wisco. He's been in a tragic accident. And I had 100 messages that I had to erase with people from the opposite side saying, I hope he dies. I hope he's disfigured for life. This is one of our very good gay friends who I don't ever think about. You know what? He posts on Facebook really good food. I don't think you go, wow, that gay guy really can cook. No, I think like Jesse's really got it going on. You know, he's happy and he has a life. But because he doesn't appeal to the ideology of people that on what people say would be his side, that they hate him. So how do we, this brings it back to the subject of violence. Like, he's a guy that's supposedly the opposite of what I'm told I like or a person I would judge. And he's not being judged by us. He's being judged by the far left. So, you know, how do we change that? You know, I would be curious to see what you think about that.
Yeah. So I think, well, first off, what we need to do is we need to stop taking the like obscure minority of a situation and blanketing it to everybody. For every person, and I don't think it's necessarily right either, for a child to transition, because that is a final decision. You typically can't undo that. For every one of those, there's tens of thousands of people who like a friend of mine who was a married man and lived their whole life in that thing. And, you know, and so if we need to stop saying that all of those people is that little thing. And I do want to hit that when we come back from the break, because this is really important to me. And I think we can agree on this. At the Rational Revolution, I'm Mark Becker on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief.
He was a friend of a lot of the people in this room, and he was a really special guy.
President Trump speaking last night about his friend and conservative activist Charlie Kirk, who was fatally shot during an appearance at Utah Valley University last week. CBS's Scott McFarland says a 22-year-old suspect is in custody.
He's in the Utah County Jail, the one where Utah Valley University is. He's in a special watch area.
Investigators are still working to determine Tyler Robinson's alleged motives. Official charges are expected to be filed Tuesday. A public memorial is planned for Kirk September 21st in Arizona. The Federal Reserve meets Tuesday to consider whether or not to lower interest rates. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger predicts they will.
I think it's more likely to be a quarter of a percentage point, at least for this meeting.
Inflation continues to be a concern, as is the long-term effects of President Trump's tariff policies on the economy. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
A big win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers came back to win 9-8 last night in 10 innings against the St. Louis Cardinals. So the Brewers won the series, and for the seventh time in 8 years, they are headed back to the postseason. They wrap up their series today against the Cardinals, then travel out west to play the Angels in L.A. Tuesday night. On Friday, they'll be in St. Louis to begin a three-game weekend series against the Cardinals, and then the following Monday, they'll be back home to start a series against the San Diego Padres. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers struggled on offense. Center Jake Renfro had to leave the game with an injury. The next two centers had trouble snapping the ball to quarterback Danny O'Neill. Alabama got rolling and beat the Badgers 38-14.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow. And the truth of the matter is, I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up together? What is this world coming to? Before you know it, cats and dogs will be living together. Variety has announced that the sequel for this summer's hit Superman is in motion. If you thought the first one was a spectacle, the follow-up promises an even bigger nemesis will face off against the unlikely duo. James Gunn's Superman, starring David Corenswet, made $613 million worldwide and was a big first swing for the DC Universe, a company where Gunn currently serves as co-CEO. James Gunn says the sequel will be as much a Lex Luthor film as it will be a Superman film. The director says he loved working with Nicholas Hoult, who played Luthor, and really identified with the Luthor character. Yikes. A couple other tidbits from Gunn's Superman world. The director says Supergirl, starring Millie Alcock, is on the schedule to be released in 2026. Superman, A Man of Tomorrow, will start filming in 2026 and be released in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Low clouds and fog give way to sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s and a light southeast wind. Tonight, a mostly clear sky. Lows will drop back into the upper 50s. A warm Monday on the way, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. It's 75 at our studios.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
where working people come to talk. It's The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the show, Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Hey, if you'd like to you know, hear this again, where this episode is going to be on all the socials, all the podcasts, all that good stuff, civicmedia.us, like the show, share it, all that good stuff. We're sitting down with Ken Sikora, Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional Chairman. We were talking about, you know, what I think of all this, and I started to say that, you know, we have to stop taking the minority of instances and pretending like it's the majority. And I know this very well because I was on that side, and I know we did this from, you know, the late term abortion thing, which is less than, you know, 1% of instances, talking about undocumented immigrants committing all these violent crimes when they're less than 1% of all the violent crimes in the country, talking about, you know, vaccine injuries when they're so low. We have to be able to, if we're going to find solutions in the middle, we need to stop living in the extremes. We need to stop saying, you know, this violence is from the radical left. It's not.
Let me argue that point is that
absolutely.
We can look at the last shooters. We can look at the group of people that have committed the most violence lately. I challenge you to find many from the right side. And the difference is also, I can tell you right now, as the Republican Party chair of the 8th District, I'm also the chairman in O'Connell County. We immediately get rid of anybody on our social media that has something. Oh, I hope Joe Biden dies tomorrow. I mean, we spent a whole weekend over holiday weekend, if you followed, you know, X, with people glorifying that Trump hadn't been on social media for 3 days and he was dead. And then the governor, Tim Walz of Minnesota, came out and said, well, we didn't get what we hoped for. I never hoped Joe Biden would die. I despise Joe Biden. I could sit here and trash him all day long, but the reality of it is I don't hope he dies. I hope he has a happy life. You know, if he committed a crime, then he should go to jail, but he's a president. And honestly, I think a lot of us think that, you know what, there's a certain responsibility, there's things we can't do there. But I would not put up with anybody in my party, and I know leaders all over the state and all over the country that would not put up with that. I don't want to hear violence on my side at all. And yet when I turn on, I posted a video on the Green Bay Llama 2 days ago, the day before this, before the shooting. And I posted a video of this Ukrainian girl. And I mean, I watched that video. I couldn't sleep. You know, mm-hmm. I was thinking about, what if that was my daughter? My daughter plays golf and she wants to go to college. Yeah. What if she was in UNC, you know, and that was her getting on that train and dying by herself? I mean, it brings tears in my eyes watching that. I can't get it out of my mind, you know? And I posted that video and I said, when are we going to stop the fighting? When are we going to wake up? You know, when are we going to stop criticizing everything every politician says and just like we'll take it for face value a little bit sometimes? And I had 57 replies in a row of hate. Not one person said, I feel terrible for that girl. You know, and they said, well, you're on the wrong page. Where's the empathy, you know?
Where's the empathy? You know who Melissa Hortman is?
The name's familiar, but I'm not sure.
Okay. She was the state representative who was murdered.
Okay. You're talking in Minnesota, the one in Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Her and her husband.
Yes.
And so, you know, you challenge to find violence. Well, there was 4 people that were killed. Or that were shot. 2 of them were killed. There were 50 people on that list, including a very good friend of mine who spent the whole weekend with cops in her living room.
Yeah,
because she was on that list. You look at the gentleman that went into Nancy Pelosi's house and almost bludgeoned her husband to death, saying, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" It's not a hard thing to find violence from the right. It's not.
No, it's not. I'm a hard not saying thing it doesn't to happen, find violence. But I want to find the empathy.
Where's well, and I would like to find the empathy too, because when Melissa Hortman was murdered, do you think Donald Trump called the governor of Minnesota and said, "Hey, what do you need?"
Yeah, I have no idea.
He didn't.
He did not. I don't know.
And so, like, I would like to find empathy. I want and I want us to all say that it's wrong. Full stop.
It is. It is wrong.
And to go on a pedestal. You know, Barack Obama, when there was that horrific shooting at the church and the nation needed calm, Barack Obama could have went in front of that congregation and said, "Right extremism, right wing extremism, right wing extremism." What did he do?
I think Barack Obama's a
bad
example.
What did he do? What did he do?
I have no idea.
He sang Amazing Grace with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to... When Donald Trump had the opportunity to bring some levity, bring some calm to the situation, this is what he said. I'm gonna play it, because he had the opportunity to do something like that as well, but he didn't choose to go that way. And I'd like to know what you think of what he said.
Have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. From the attack on my life in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, which killed a husband and father, to the attacks on ICE agents, to the vicious murder of a healthcare executive in the streets of New York, to the shooting of House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and three others, radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives. Tonight.
So, okay.
So what's wrong with that statement?
Everything that was there is not. They talked about Steve Scalise that happened years ago. Nothing was mentioned about Nancy Pelosi. Nothing was mentioned about Melissa Hortman. Nothing was mentioned about. So there are times that the country needs a calm voice.
So we could sit here and go tit for tat over, you know, Joe Biden not saying anything about the victims in the Carolinas and Tennessee. We could go through every situation, and we're going to find times where one person or another might have dropped the ball. But I think the heart of what he said is extremely important, which is that it's the rhetoric. You know, here's the thing.
Was rhetoric.
Yeah.
Though.
No, that was truth. If you tell me my neighbor wants to kill me, right?
Yep.
And you tell me that every time you say, "By the way, I know your neighbor, he wants to kill you." Eventually, I'm probably going to start carrying a gun in my yard, right? And now when I see my neighbor come out of the house, I'm going to be looking for a confrontation.
Right.
And now, if God forbid, if he comes out with a gun headed to hunt, I'm going to think he's looking for me. And it creates a tense situation. There's probably, let's say there's no truth to that matter. Now I'm tense and I'm edgy. And now if I shoot my neighbor because he walks out of the house with a gun in his hand to go hunting, I think I was justified because he was going to kill me. If we continue to say you're Hitler, you know, Trump is no Hitler. You know, Trump is no Hitler. Trump's not destroying the Constitution. We have a Supreme Court. Supreme Court for that.
Yep. To destroy the Constitution
destroy it. He's upholding the Constitution. That's what we elected him for. So when we go around and say, you know, Charlie Kirk, I've heard people say Charlie Kirk has hateful rhetoric. I would please give me an example of hateful rhetoric from Charlie Kirk. This was a guy that literally would put his microphone down on the table when he did debates.
He was very respectful.
Because he did not want to argue with people. So, you know, and now I want to go forward a little bit to a local.
Well, what we have, and I remember this when I was in the Republican Party, hearing Mark Levin, deep from the underground bunkers of the, okay, like he was talking about, we're at war. What did Steve Bannon say yesterday? We're at war. And what was the war room, for God's sakes? I mean, like, so you talk about if you want, my neighbor wants to kill me. That's being said.
Oh,
correct? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree, but let's be honest.
They are stirring that pot,
too. When I turn on social media, I can't put a post on the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal without people, you know, calling me every name in the book.
Well, what are you saying?
It doesn't even matter. I posted that.
Say hi.
Okay, so there was so this morning, they posted about the Charlie Kirk event, and I said, you know, Charlie was a fighter, he was a leader, he was a patriot, and he's going to be missed. And I had people just bashing nonstop.
I would say that what Donald Trump did in stirring the pot and in inciting that you know,
I don't see anything insightful.
Well, hold on. I think that type of rhetoric, singling out one side as the specific problem, that's what he did. This is the radical left, while completely ignoring the problems on the other side. That is as irresponsible and as wrong as someone going on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and saying, I'm glad he's dead. They're both ridiculous, disgusting, and wrong.
Yeah, but Trump, let's back up.
That's true,
though. Said he's glad anybody, did he say he was glad someone was dead?
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I said that what he said in terms of, this is only on the left side. This is radical left, citing Steve Scalise and citing himself and citing Charlie Kirk, ignoring Nancy Pelosi, ignoring Melissa Hortman, ignoring these things, and ignoring the fact that this is not a political thing.
I don't know.
What I said was that is wrong.
To look deeper into whether he ignored Melissa Hortman.
He did. That's what he said. He didn't.
He didn't mention her in that. But I mean, you could make a list that's 100 names long. I mean, how far does he have to go? Let me ask you a question.
How far do we have to go to defend that?
How many names does he have to go to make it okay with you? If he'd have mentioned Nancy Pelosi, would that have been enough, or would you wanted the next one or the next one?
I think that he should have at least tipped the cap to the four people that were shot.
I've read a lot about the Pelosi issue. There's some really weird stuff going on there. So, I mean, that's an equestrian issue. You know, so at what point, I mean, we have to get back to some local stuff, which is, and that leads to Trump. But I mean, I look at Congressman Weed. I see some of the things that are directed as him. And, you know, from my perspective, I was someone in my party that fought my previous congressman, Gallagher. I despised Gallagher. I thought he was a traitor to our cause. Why? Because one, you know, he promised us that he would vote to impeach Mayorkas, and he didn't. Mayorkas was easy. He allowed legals across the border every day. I mean, do you think it's okay for people to flood across the border daily with no?
No,
no,
no. No, I think that was wrong.
So that's an easy impeachment. He said he would do it. He met us in a meeting, said, this is what, if you guys want this, this is what I'll do. He lied. He did nothing to further some of our causes. We could just spend hours going through it. So I was one of the first people to say enough is enough. I didn't vote for Gallagher when he ran last time. And we fought very hard, and we were able to make him resign. You know, the new leadership in Brown County with Pat O'Connell. And so I'm not someone that blissfully looks at my party and thinks everybody's fine. And out of that came Tony Weed. And Tony Weed walked in the door of an event as a guy that never was involved in politics in his life. I doubt you could find one instance where he had a political statement. And now I look at a guy that is exactly what I think both sides should have wanted, a non-political individual. Someone who served his community business-wise. If you've met his four children, you know what a good family looks like. His wife, Angela, as classy as they come. Down to earth, easiest person to talk to. And he was thrown into a event.
Okay.
To run for Congress.
I want to hit this on the other end of the break, okay? I'm not going to do my thoughts. We're going to have him on for the next break. We got Ken Sikora, Mark.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. I've got Ken Sikora, is the chairman of the 8th Congressional Republican Party of Wisconsin. If there's one thing that people get out of this, and I'm sure people will... I'm going to get a lot of grief, you know, from this because, you really didn't, you held your punches or whatever. I want people to understand that there are some things that are bigger than that. You know, I've always been someone that wants to find middle ground and find a way forward with people that might not always agree with me. And that's why, again, I really appreciate you being here. And even if we're going to leave today, we're not going to agree on anything, but I think I could agree. I'd sit down with you again, and I think we can agree that we can have a respectful discussion.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important, and I think this is get back to the violence issue.
Yeah,
it's because we don't have these discussions. We live in a society.
Dude, 1,000,000%.
We live in a society where people run away from the trouble. You know,
yeah.
As Americans, we want to go to work, we want to do our thing, our lives are busy, and we don't. We don't engage as much as we should.
Yeah.
And bringing it back to Congressman Weed, you know, he walked in a meeting that we had a little over a year ago and had never been to a Republican. He ended up standing next to a young guy named Alec Brusewitz,
yeah,
who we had invited in to talk. And Brusewitz was there to possibly run as a candidate, ended up standing next to him. That led to a conversation, and Brusewitz turned to him and said, hey, why don't you run for Congress?
Yeah.
And that's how Tony Weed came to be. He wasn't selected by the state party. Matter of fact, the state party had made their selection, Roger Roth,
yep.
who I was, is a good man, but not the guy I wanted for my candidate.
Yep.
And so Tony Weed was about as a grassroots candidate that you could ever have. And at times I took criticism, and those of us that supported him, I mean, we literally had our risk of charters being pulled in our county parties because we supported mm-hmm. him and endorsed him. But there was times when people said, well, what kind of made me realize the problems we have with politics is that there were people that said, well, he doesn't know the issues enough. This is not exactly what we want. Don't we want someone who comes in the door and is not controlled by anybody? He doesn't owe anybody.
Well, he is. I mean, he had Trump endorsed Tony Weed.
The Trump endorsement was as organic as you could get. Okay. Trump looked at the race. The ask was given, would you endorse a candidate? And because of Alex Brusewitz, who knew Trump, we were given the opportunity to get that. So Tony was as organic as they come.
Okay.
And the criticism from my party was, well, he doesn't answer questions like a politician does.
Right.
Well, isn't that what we want? Don't we want people that are not politicians?
Yeah.
And so now going forward, he was elected. We won the primary. He was elected. And I look at the hate. He can't post anything without 400 hate messages. And at what point? Now I do parades with Tony. I do events with Tony. And we did a parade in Lena last weekend. And there was probably 2,000 to 3,000 people on the street.
Yeah.
And I say 95% of those people, thank you, Tony. Thank you. We appreciate you running.
Lena. That's about as red as you're getting, man. Yeah, but hold on. That's the thing.
But he does a praise in every town.
You said that you think the reason why we're here is because we can't have conversations like this. Tony Weed, I think, gets a lot of grief because he really goes to events and surrounds himself with people who aren't going to have conversations like this.
So when we did the event in Green Bay 3 months ago, it was a fundraiser. It was a small dollar fundraiser. It was $25 and that included food. Okay. It was in Stadium View, the most popular venue in Green Bay.
You think?
Okay. Everybody was invited. There was no security there. There was no sheriff's department there. Everybody was invited. We could have held 200 people. The Llama, one of the organizations, said they were going to flood the place. Okay. Flood the place. They weren't willing to just come in and spend $25 for food to ask Tony Weed questions.
Why would they have to pay to ask the congressman a question?
Well, because it was a fundraiser.
Okay.
We had to pay for the room, and we had to pay. When you do these events,
you're a congressman for all people.
There's still costs. I mean, somebody has to cover the cost. So that's a simple.
You go to
the
Brown County Library.
I don't care what it is. We wanted a venue where people come in after work, get something to eat, have a drink, and support. Remember, another part of what we do is supporting local businesses. Why would we not? Why would we do it at a library when we can support a local business? I mean, this is important. And zero people showed up. You know, they know he does every parade. He does every single parade in this district. He does every single county fair in this district. When I look at the hate geared towards him, let's jump to Dixon Wolf. And I know you text Dixon a nice message the other day. I appreciate that. He did tell me that while I was down the road eating lunch today. I've seen people call him. He looks like a child molester. He just married a beautiful girl. He just was married. I've seen people say he looks like a gay man. Well, this is the other side. So if we're going to continue this is where this builds. You know, this goes from saying Trump's a monster, Trump's a radical, he's Hitler, to criticizing every politician. And all of a sudden, it just becomes okay.
Well, and I should show you my inbox, my friend. And it's people on your side saying horrific things about me.
And I would be the first one to chastise them.
I would do the same for you. But we cannot... We cannot start this conversation from a point of saying, this is your fault.
Yeah.
And this is all on you.
Would you agree
with that?
Except for one exception. Okay. Here's where I make the
Come
exception.
Come on!
Look at the Chicago situation. Look at us trying to get, you know, Marion Bowser, the mayor of Washington, has now said how nice Washington is. We have a problem in Chicago. If we don't prevent basic crimes, this leads to more crime.
Chicago told them what they wanted. Chicago told them what they wanted. Donald Trump says, no, we're going in with troops.
No, the mayor told them what they wanted.
Chicago, the mayor.
The mayor has a 7-point a 7-point percentage approval rating. A bum on the street can get that. So,
well, the Illinois governor also said the same thing, and he's got a pretty big, yeah, he's got a pretty
got an eating problem, and he has no idea what he's talking about.
I'm
a chubby guy, too.
But
these are guys that have super low approval ratings that are telling Trump that, whereas
Trump's approval rating is not great.
Whereas residents are saying, come clean our city up. So if I could leave you with this, is if we clean up the crime problem and we make it not okay to just be a common criminal, it helps with the violence problem.
I hope you come back, because I think, you know, we're starting at a place. I would like to continue this discussion a different time.
Definitely, because this hour flew by. So.
Dude, it does. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. Ken Sikora on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Stay tuned for the next one on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. Arrangements are being made to remember Charlie Kirk, the conservative activist who was fatally shot at an event in Utah. He was President Trump's friend.
He was a really special guy. So I'm going to be going to Charlie's, I guess you'd call it a funeral. There's a small one. I said, can we do the big one? Because we're going to give him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is a big deal.
A public memorial is planned for Kirk September 21st in Arizona. A 22-year-old suspect is in custody. Investigators are working to determine his exact motives. But there are growing concerns about heated political rhetoric. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Social media is getting a lot of the blame for the anger that's pervaded our politics and infected our debates. Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons.
The internet is an accelerant.
Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford.
Social media is always pushing who's the angriest,